Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, the Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, and where it says, confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. At this time, I'd like to say a prayer and then invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
You gotta say,
this means war.
You can't be
Dear Lord, make me a woman of wisdom and discernment. I seek wisdom, Lord, not as the world gives, but as you give. Lead me in your ways and teach me from your word, so that in time my wisdom might glorify your kingdom and your son. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Amen. So if you would like to call in your prayer request, our number is 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
was feeling that I couldn't understand. People were happy, they were carefree. They had near the peace that I wanted to feel. They told stories about the Son of God and how he defeated Satan at the cross. I started to realize the true love of God. Then the Holy Spirit came and showed me the way to heaven.
God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled A Change of Course. A Change of Course. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. The writer says, in Christ, you are forgiven of the penalty of all your sins, past, present, and future, forever. However, you are called to confess your sins because there are still parts of you that aren't submitted to God. Areas where your fellowship with him is hindered and you're not living in his freedom. So when you repent, you are agreeing with him that you have been doing things wrong and want to do things his way. Often, people feel sorry for what they have done, but live in defeat because they don't really understand that the purpose of repentance is to change course. If this is you, then take heart. God will empower you to change. And it starts by acknowledging he has a right to teach you what to do. So if you have sins, you need to confess. Take full responsibility for your actions. Be honest with Jesus and obey whatever he says, even when he does the painful work of rooting out the attitudes and behaviors that incited the transgression in the first place. Because then you can enjoy open lines of communication with your Savior and experience the freedom he died to give you. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, I repent. Teach me how to walk in your ways. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that completes our devotional message for this evening. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
Spirit on high. Whoa, whoa, whoa. the heart of his spirit.
Make me a woman of constant prayer. Your holy word commands me to pray without ceasing. In all things, great and small, at all times, whether happy or sad, let me seek your wisdom and your strength in prayer. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a wonderful word from the Lord. Amen. So if you would like to hear this message this evening, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer request at that same number. To God be the glory. Right now, I am going to play another selection, The Blessings of Abraham. Praise be to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
say, I'm going to get mine.
Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to me. Let me use it. When I stray from your holy word, Lord, I suffer. But when I place your word at the very center of my life, I am blessed. Make me a faithful student of your word so that I might be a faithful servant in your world this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
in a world full of grace, where hurt had no cause. There's been those dreams that were so blue, nightmares that never end, and waking up was hard to do. Then you paved the road with streets made of gold, with lights that shine forever, and time never grows old. Sent a friend who will always be true, who died for my sins. Nobody but you brings tears of joy that you replace in my soul with tears of joy. So many hopes walked away, came back that decided to stay. Too many mistakes in my song, with a hook that kept on going on and on and on. Then you sang to my soul your merciful melody. Filled up my heart with a rhythm unheard and a love that was born to save a world that was destined to go wrong. Like the wind that blows, I can't feel I'm in my soul with tears of joy, rolling down my face, tears of joy, caught up in your grace, tears of joy. Nothing can take the place of the pain that you replace in my soul.
Dear Lord, I will place my hope in you. If I become discouraged, I will turn to you. If I am afraid, I will seek strength in you. In every aspect of my life, I will trust you. You are my Father, and I will place my hope, my trust, and my faith in you. Amen, amen, and amen. When I am bitter, I cannot sense your presence. Keep me mindful that forgiveness is your commandment. Let me turn away from bitterness and instead claim the spiritual abundance that you offer through the gift of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now it is time for the word. At this time, I will play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
I want you to open up your heart. and let God's Spirit come in. Come on, sing. Sing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's. And when you get to Matthew's, we'll go to chapter 13. And in when you get to chapter 13, we're going to read verses 33 through 35. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says Jesus is telling the parable of the yeast. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she puts only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeates every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowd. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. So in other Bible passages, yeast is used as a symbol of evil or uncleanness. Here, it is a positive symbol of growth. Although yeast looks like a minor ingredient, it permeates the whole loaf. Although the kingdom began small and was nearly invisible, it would soon grow and have a great impact on the world. Praise God. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that you wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we accepted Jesus as Savior, we pray that you will engrave your name on our hearts so indelibly that neither prosperity nor adversity shall ever move us from your love. Be to us a strong tower of defense and a comforter in tribulation. Guide us through the many temptations and dangers of this life by making us strong to resist evil and live victoriously in your strength. We bring gifts to you that were earned by abilities that you bestowed on us out of rich boundaries of your grace. We bring these gifts to help further your work, since we can do collectively as a community of believers what we cannot do individually. Pour out your power on this church, granting us wisdom to use good judgment in the expending of funds. May we receive a blessing as we give. We pray this in the Master's name. Amen. Amen and amen. Jesus turned to everyday life in Galilee in order to illustrate the kingdom of God. Smaller towns and villages had no bakeries. Women made bread in their homes. Jesus had no dough. Often seen, his mother used leaven dough that had been kept from a previous baking and had fermented. When the leaven was mixed into the new batch of dough, it changed the characteristics of the dough. That is, the dough rose and made full loaves of bread when baked. Jesus observed that just as leaven changes the dough into which it is mixed, God's kingdom likewise changes everything with which it comes into contact. Amen. Praise God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 13 and 33, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And my title for this message is, "Silent forces are often the strongest." Amen. So tonight my message is divided into 4 sections. Number 1, a difficulty of interpretation. Now this is a controversial parable. Often leaven symbolized for the Jewish people and evil influence. In fact, elsewhere in the New Testament, this is true. Jesus advised his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod in Mark 8 and 15. Paul twice used the phrase in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 and Galatians 5 and 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lot. As he exhorted Christian people to separate themselves from all things that can in any way influence for evil. If a Jewish prosthetic relapse into pagan ways, the rabbis spoke of it as a return to his leaven. On the other hand, it is not fair to say that the Jews always use leaven as a symbolism for wickedness or bad influence. One rabbi said, "Great is peace when that peace is to the earth as the leaven is to the dough." The point of this parable is not whether leaven is good or bad. Rather, it is used to illustrate that the most silent of forces may be the strongest. Amen. Think about it. Now, let's take the long look. Now, too many people today want to see their success immediately. They do not want to wait for reward. They believe that Christianity means all of our problems are immediately solved and prosperity will come by tomorrow afternoon. This is simple. This is simply not true. Of course, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, the guilt of our sin is dealt with on the basis of Christ's death on Calvary and his resurrection for the grave. This should bring immediate peace with God, because we know that we shall not come into condemnation, and that our sins are under the blood of Christ. Personal problems, however, still must be dealt with on a day-to-day basis. The glorious truth, however, is that ultimately we have assurance of victory. Amen? Knowing that we are going to win the game, provide help in time. Provided help in time of need. Strength for every enemy. The Apostle John wrote to a struggling church in Asia Minor that in Revelation 2 and 20, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Praise be to God. John was saying, take the long look. Do not set your eyes on short-term goals. Give God time, and he will work out your problems. In the meantime, be faithful and live up to the light you possess. Amen? Praise God. Number three is the history renders strange verdict. If you had been alive in 1809, you would have been tempted to join the group of pessimists who called it the world's blackest year. Everything seemed to indicate that the world had no future. Europe was on the borderline of complete frustration, ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. Napoleon was dominating the entire continent and making plans for future conquest. The cause of freedom and social progress seemed hopeless. The truth is, however, that God was at work. In that year, Abraham Lincoln, William Gladstone, Alfred Tennyson, Oliver Weldon Holmes, Cyrus Hall McCormick, and Felix Mendelssohn were born. As Christians, we can put our faith in the fact that history will vindicate our trust in Christ. Polycarp, a Christian martyr, was put to death about the middle of the second century. The group of struggling Christians were terrified by the persecution under the proconsulship of a man named Satus Quadratus. The historian who recorded the death of Polycarp concentrated a great truth into a few words when he wrote of the event and attached the date to it. He penned Status Quadratus Proconsul Jesus Christ King forever. He would not possibly have known that nearly 1900 years later, people would still be reading his words. Who was Status Quadratus? Who knows? In fact, who cares? But above the turmoil of the world and the chaotic condition that exists now and have existed through the centuries, his affirmation resounds. Jesus Christ, King forever. Amen. Number four, God is always there. If one were to ask, what is the chief appeal of the gospel to so many people in so many generations and in so many countries? What would you say? Is it not the influence of Jesus as a person? Others have come and gone. Military men have conquered large portions of the world, but have had to give it up. Merchants have conquered the market on certain products, but they could not hold out forever. Entertainers have become a household word, but have perished. Some of them tragically. Jesus Christ, however, is stronger today than he was in the first century. His kingdom is greater and more people claim allegiance to him than ever before in the history of the world. Napoleon is reported to have once said, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I built kingdoms on force, and they have crumbled. Jesus Christ built a kingdom on love, and today there are countless thousands who would gladly die for his sake. Amen. Praise be to God. The scope of the parable of the seed sown is to show that the beginning of the gospel would be small, but its latter end would greatly increase. In this way, the work of grace in the heart, the kingdom of God within us, would be carried on in the soul where grace truly is. It will grow really, though perhaps at first not to be discerned, it will at last come to great strength and usefulness. The preaching of the gospel works like leaven in the heart of those who receive it. The leaven works certainly, so does the word. Yet gradually it works silently and without being seen in Mark 4:26-29. Yet strong without noise, for so is the way of the Spirit, but without fail. Thus it was in the world. The apostles, by preaching the gospel, hid a handful of leaven in the great mass of mankind. It was made powerful by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. who works and none can hinder. Thus it is in the heart. When the gospel comes into the soul, it works a thorough change. It spreads itself into all powers and faculties of the soul and alters the property even of the members of the body, Romans 6 and 13. From these parables, we are taught to expect a gradual progress. Therefore, let us inquire, are we growing in grace and in holy principles and habits? Think about that. Are you growing in principles, or are you growing in habits? And as I bring this message to a close, do not let the obvious fool you. Forces are at work for God when we least expect. To celebrate the 100th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth, a cartoonist drew a picture of two men talking in a royal section of Kentucky. One said, "What's new?" The other replied, "Nothing. This is an out-of-the-way place." Oh, by the way, there was a new boy born over at Tom Lincoln's last night, but nothing new ever happens around here. One wonders if somebody in the outskirts of Bethlehem might have said one day, "Nothing new ever happens around here." We are just a hick town. Oh, by the way, some girl from Galilee had a baby out in the stable last night. But nothing new ever happens around here. Be careful about believing that the forces making the loudest noise are the most enduring or the more important. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in his world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in, O little town of Bethlehem. God is on the field when he seems most invisible. Trust him by receiving his death on the cross as payment for your sin and his resurrection from the grave as your power. Commit yourself to share his goal and purpose in life. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Silent forces are often the strongest. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you to a good Bible-based church. Amen? It's as simple as that. To God be the glory. And my benediction for this word is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with another word from the Lord. Amen. So have a wonderful evening. We love you and we thank you for showing up and didn't think it's robbery to hear the word of God this evening. We love you and we give you all praises and prayers, and may God bless your home, your families, your loved ones, until we meet again in Jesus' name. And we will leave out on Rise by Rob and Ore. Amen. God bless you. Love you.
into his glorious light of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
All the praise belongs to you. fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. We pray his holy. And all the gold, for as far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.